Hello, I'm Brandon House, and welcome to the Worldview Weekend Hour. Tonight, I want to speak to you on the topic of the fallacy of the sinner's prayer and should a church baptize children? The fallacy of the sinner's prayer and should a church baptize children? Now, this topic, particularly in relation to should a church be baptizing children, was sparked when I read an article in the magazine Christianity Today, dated May 29th, 2014. And the article was entitled, Five Reasons Why Most Southern Baptist Churches Baptized Almost No Millennials. That was the topic or the title of the article. And in the article, they revealed how many children they're baptizing. I'll get to that in a minute, but look at what the article said. It said, according to a recent report by a special task force of pastors, the baptism drought in America's largest evangelical denomination, which counts 15.7 million members and 5.8 million Sunday worshipers, is worst among millennials. All right, now that's a paragraph that's got quite a bit of information in it. Number one, we're talking about the nation's largest evangelical Protestant denomination. So perhaps you don't attend a Southern Baptist church. Maybe you go to an evangelical free church or an Assembly of God church or a Nazarene church or a Missionary Alliance or an evangelical Lutheran church or some kind of Presbyterian church. I don't know what you might go to. But this study by the Southern Baptist Convention is particularly interesting because they are the largest Protestant denomination in America. Some don't refer to them as a denomination, but an association. But nevertheless, I think this report is very instructive for us to get a handle on what is going on within evangelicalism. So first of all, we're talking about a denomination that is the largest Protestant denomination in America. But notice the article says they have 15.7 million members, but only 5.8 million Sunday worshipers. Well, that is a red flag right away. Where are all these people? How come more than half of the members of Southern Baptist churches cannot be found on any given Sunday? More than half. And if they're not showing up for church, why are they still on the rolls as members? If they're not showing up at church, why has the church not gone out looking for their lost sheep to find out what's going on spiritually in their life? If they have no interest in coming to church and studying God's word and fellowshipping with fellow believers, then why are they even allowed to stay on the roll as a church member? There's clearly a spiritual problem, right? If you have no desire to show up at church and study God's word and be with other fellow believers, I mean, one of the hallmarks of a believer in 1 John is that you long to have fellowship and study God's word with other believers. Well, see, this is part of the problem with many denominations, including the Southern Baptist. They can't even account for over half their members. And this is why it's also troubling to me when you ask a Southern Baptist pastor, how many go to your church? Oh, we have 5,000 members. Well, that's not what I asked you. How many attend your church on a given Sunday? Oh, we have about 1,000 people that attend. Really? But you got 5,000 members? Where are 4,000 of them? You know, I've heard some Southern Baptist pastors talk about our church of 20,000 members. But on a given Sunday, they maybe have 6,000 there, 7,000. Again, half or more are not there. But they always want to tout this huge number of how many members they have. I've always found that to be, quite frankly, disingenuous at best. At worst, dishonest. But that is a real problem when over half of the members of your denomination can't even be accounted for. Could it be because so many of them have said the sinner's prayer, walked the aisle, were baptized, and then were added to the membership rolls? And that gets to the real crux of our issue tonight. The fallacy of the sinner's prayer, and should churches be baptizing children? Well, the article within Christianity Today went on to say that they have 15.7 million members, 5.8 million Sunday worshipers, which is worst among millennials. In the last year's annual church profile, 60% of the more than 46,000 churches in the Southern Baptist Convention reported no youth baptisms, age 12 to 17. Well, that may not be a bad thing, because again, we don't want to see churches baptizing false converts. In 2012, so what it said then is that they reported no youth baptisms among ages 12 to 17 in 2012, and 80% reported only one or zero baptisms among young adults 18 to 29. One in four Southern Baptist churches reported zero baptisms overall in 2012. So again, what is going on with their evangelism? What is going on with their outreach and going out into the field and giving the gospel? That is a serious question for all of us, all denominations, all churches, right? All Christians. Are we going out and sharing the good news of the gospel, fulfilling the Great Commission? But notice this report goes on to say, while the only consistently growing, that's a quote, quote, only consistently growing, end quote, baptism group was children under 5 years old. I don't know about you, but that is really not only shocking, telling, discouraging. The only consistently growing baptism group was children under 5 years old. Can I ask you, why is any church baptizing any child that's under the age of five? Are you telling me that churches are baptizing 3 and 4 year old children? Now, to be baptized, you're supposed to be a believer. The scripture is very clear that the pattern is conversion. You receive the Holy Spirit after you repent of your sins and place your faith and trust in Christ. So you're converted, you receive the Holy Spirit, and you're baptized. Are you telling me that Southern Baptist churches are seeing 3 and 4 year olds make decisions for Christ? Now, am I saying that a 4 year old cannot make a decision for Christ? I'm not going to say that. There are reports, I think it was Jonathan Edwards, if I'm not mistaken, supposedly made a decision for Christ or repented of his sins and placed his faith and trust in Christ at age 4. But let me just say, I'm highly doubtful that a 4 year old can understand the gospel. I'm not going to say it's impossible, but extremely rare. I would say it is almost impossible for a 4 year old to understand their depravity, their sinfulness, their need to repent, to even understand self-denial, repentance, picking up the cross of Christ. I mean, truly, what does a 4 year old feel that they need to repent from? Reality is they don't even understand fully the holiness of God. So it would be an extremely rare thing for a 4 year old to be able to understand the gospel, who they are, what they deserve, and repent of their sins. But reality is parents push children into saying a sinner's prayer so that the parent feels better about it. But reality is the parent is not understanding that God is sovereign. God has total rule. He's totally in control. And the Bible seems to be very clear that there is an age of accountability. And there's no way that a 4 year old, a 3 year old, a 2 year old, a 1 year old is going to die and go to hell. They are not at the age of accountability. Now, you would ask me, Brandon, what is the age of accountability? It's going to be different for different children. Some children may be able to understand the issue of what is the gospel, who they are, a sinner, what they are, depraved, what they deserve, the wrath of God. They may be able to understand that at 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, 12. It's different for every individual child. That's something you'd have to take on an individual basis for each child. But I think the Bible clearly teaches that there is an age of accountability, and that children that die before they reach that age of accountability are safe in the arms of God. In fact, Dr. John MacArthur has written an excellent book by that title that I highly recommend called Safe in the Arms of God. And he gives lots of scripture why there seems to be, from the scripture, reason to believe in an age of accountability. But many parents push their kids to say a sinner's prayer, and many Southern Baptist churches want them to say a sinner's prayer and then get baptized, and then they can add them to their church roll. Because do you realize Southern Baptist churches won't let you be a member unless you're baptized? So they want to get you baptized. So as soon as someone makes a profession of faith, boy, they want to baptize them and add them to the church roll. Now, in the Bible, we do see a pattern of people making a public profession of their faith, repenting of their sins, placing their faith and trust in Christ, and then being baptized pretty quick. But with children, I think we have to be very careful that we're not setting them up with a spiritual trap that says, well, you prayed the sinner's prayer, you walked the aisle, you got baptized and at 4, 5, 6 years of age, and now you're saved. Many children hang their hats on the fact that they said a sinner's prayer, walked the aisle, and got baptized. And yet there was never any fruit, no doctrinal fruit, that they were ever saved. But they hang their hat on ritual. They hang their hat on ceremony. They hang their hat on an experience of saying a sinner's prayer, walking the aisle, and being baptized. And I think this is a very serious program about a very serious issue and topic, which is the danger of the sinner's prayer and baptizing children. Am I saying that all adults or children that have ever prayed the sinner's prayer are not saved? No, I'm not saying that. There were some indeed who understood the gospel and prayed the sinner's prayer at 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, maybe even as an adult. But it was not the sinner's prayer that saved them. It was not the sinner's prayer. It's not some magical prayer. They might have prayed what is called a sinner's prayer that someone led them through. But it wasn't the prayer that saved them. It was their repentance, which comes from God. The Bible says that God may grant them repentance. They did understand the gospel. The Holy Spirit did move upon them, allowed them to understand their sinfulness, their depravity. And yes, they prayed a sinner's prayer and were saved, but not because of the sinner's prayer, but because they understood the gospel. They understood who they were, a sinner, what they were, depraved, what they deserved, God's wrath. And 2 Corinthians 7 speaks of godly sorrow that produces repentance unto salvation. So please understand, I'm not saying that there are not those who have prayed the sinner's prayer that have indeed been converted. But I think there's a real danger in giving someone the words to pray. Because you see, if they cannot understand the gospel well enough to cry out to God in their own words, from their own heart, from their own mind, and say, Lord, forgive me, I am a sinner, I deserve wrath, your wrath, I deserve to be sent to hell. I know that, I understand that. I have fallen short that your standard is perfection, holiness, separation from sin. I am a sinner, I deserve your wrath, and I cry out in repentance. I cry out in sorrow over my sin. And I believe in the work that you did on the cross through your death, burial, and resurrection. And I claim those promises. And I repent of my sins. I acknowledge my sinfulness. I want to make you the Lord of my life and be the Lord of my life. And I want to know that you're my Savior. And it could be a prayer as simple as that, but it's one that they pray from their heart. And folks, if people cannot articulate from their own heart a prayer of salvation, a cry to God through Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins, then do they really understand the gospel? And yet so many have been given the words to say, they've been enticed to say the words. After all, you don't want to go to hell, do you? Say this prayer. I remember when my son came home once in early elementary school from a church function where they had been told just that. You don't want to go to hell, do you? Then pray this prayer. And I was rather upset and talked to the church leadership about it and said, this is completely unacceptable. You don't take 7 and 8 year olds and say to them, you don't want to go to hell, do you? Because their natural response is going to be, no, I don't. Well, then pray this prayer. And then lead them to believe that they're saved simply because they prayed a prayer. Yet those kids could not describe to you the gospel. And yet so many churches are filled with false converts because they've been led to pray a sinner's prayer. Is that perhaps why the Southern Baptist Convention has millions of people that can't be found? Is that perhaps the reason they have 15.7 million members, but only 5.8 million that are showing up at church on any given Sunday? Over half the members of their denomination are MIA, missing in action. Could it be because they're not really saved? Oh yes, they prayed a sinner's prayer, walked the aisle, got baptized, and were put on the church membership rolls, but they never even understood the gospel. You see the danger this sets up? I think there are perhaps millions and millions of people who believe they're saved because they did do just that. Prayed a sinner's prayer, walked the aisle, got baptized, added to church rolls. And now they live under a false assumption that they're saved when it's not a sinner's prayer that saves you. Well, could it be one reason why the Southern Baptists, according to their own report this year, 2014, could it be that the reason that the only consistently growing baptism group was among children under the age of 5, which is shocking again, children under 5 years of age, could that be because churches have turned being baptized into a gimmick, a game? Look at the screen here. Here's a picture of what is reported to be the children's department at a Southern Baptist church. Now, we're told, according to a couple different news reports and according to a national talk show host, that this is the children's department at what was, I think, Springdale First Baptist Church of Springdale, Arkansas, which is now, I guess, Cross Point Church in Springdale, Arkansas, northern Arkansas. This is reportedly their children's department, and you'll notice that there in the center of the screen is what looks like a fire station and a fire truck. Well, according to news reports, that is actually where kids are baptized. And in fact, we'll get into that in a minute, exactly what goes on when a child has reportedly been baptized in that fire truck or fire station. But is this perhaps why so many young kids under the age of five, the only consistently growing baptism group was children under 5 years old for the Southern Baptist Convention, is because they've made a gimmick out of being baptized?